It's time to let go. Anybody ready for a comeback today? All right, now. I tell you what, I told the early morning service, I said, that second service crowd last week, they about preached me all over the top last week. Man, they were loud, they were rowdy, they were amen. I was loving it. So you guys got some big shoes to fill today, because last week you guys really brought it. Anybody else going to bring it today? All right, there you go. You know, you get behind me, what's going to happen today? It really helps. Today we are talking about comeback. Comeback, comeback. We're talking about comeback. Everybody loves a good comeback story. And we're learning that there's a lot of things in our life that maybe we think are finished or over, but God says it ain't over. Listen, when God's in control, it's never over until God says it's over. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, God's not finished yet. There's some things in our life that he wants to restore to come back to us. Last week, we talked about come back to joy, and man, a lot of things happened. This week, I want to talk to you about the thought of getting my clarity back, getting my clarity back. You know, when I was a kid, I knew very early on that I was going to need glasses. I mean, the first time they gave us a eye test in school, I could like barely read like the first two or three lines, you know, and I could never read anything in the middle and below that. And so they're like, send a note home to my parents, like, you know, your son probably is going to need glasses. And I was like, no! Because you got to realize, today, glasses are cool. You got a lot of cool styles of glasses. But back when I was a kid, we only had one style. How many remember those, that one style? It was called nerd. You know, you had some big old glasses. Now we call them hipster, right? You know, those big glasses now, they're hipster glasses. And man, it's like the bigger the better. But back then, we're like, those nerd glasses. And so I wasn't going to wear those. And so I remember like the following year, I would come in when they were waiting in line to give me the eye test. I would actually get up and I would memorize the chart. True story. I memorized the chart. And so they'd ask me and I just, by memory, go down the row, letter for letter, and I'd get through, you know. I did that for several years until it was time for me to get my driver's license. And then I realized, all right, I can't pass this test unless I get some glasses. And so I'm like, at least I go get some glasses and pass my driver's test and then I can put them in my glove box and not use them, you know. So I went to take my test and they put this machine in front of you and they're like, A or B? One or two? Which one's clear? I'm like, one, two, you know, then, all right, how about A or B? How about one or two? How about now? A or B? One or two? A or B? One or two? I'm like, you're confusing me! Anyway, they go through this whole series, you know how it works. And before they get done, they have fine-tuned my vision when I'm looking through this machine where I could read every single line without any strain. Man, the lowest, the smallest of letters, I could read the finest of print. I had to have an outside source help me get clarity. Without it, I didn't have clear vision. And I think it's the same way in our own life that we need an outside source to really see things clearly, to really have an understanding. You see, we understand last week we talked about James, and James said this. James says that if you want to have joy, you got to learn to embrace your trial, your hardship. And he goes, I want you to resist temptation, and I want you to embrace your trial. Count it all joy, because your trials are going to produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And he goes on to tell us this whole great thing that can happen, how you can walk in joy in the middle of a trial is knowing that God is at work even in the middle of our trial, that God hasn't left us, that God is doing something, and he's going to cause all things to work together for good if we'll embrace the trial. But what the mistake we make is we want to embrace the temptation and resist the trial. Trials come, let's run the temptation. We resist the trial. I don't want to go through that. So I'll go and just jump at the first thing, thinking it will get my mind off of it, thinking it will take me away. And he says, no, when you're maturing, it's just the opposite. I want you to learn how to embrace the trial. Now today I want to talk about that other part. How to handle temptation. How do you see temptation? See, in order to have a clear vision of where what God's trying to do in your life, you got to have an understanding of how temptation works, what it's trying to do to my life, what the purpose behind it is. So today, let's go ahead and go to our text in James again. James 1:13. Look what it says here. It says this, and remember, when you are being tempted, when, everybody say when, that means all of us are going to be tempted, right? He didn't say if, he says when. So he's saying we're all going to be tempted. He goes, don't say, God is tempting me. How many of us have ever done that? Oh, God's really tempting me now. God's really trying to tempt me. You know, and I understand sometimes we feel that way, and sometimes we say it without really thinking, but that's really incorrect. That's the false way to think about it, because the Bible was very clear. He goes, don't let that come out of your mouth, because God's not tempting you. He goes, don't say that God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never, ever, ever, never tempts anyone else. So the Bible teaches that God is not behind the temptation. God may test us from time to time, but he's not tempting us. Temptation doesn't come from God. Temptation is not from God. So you got to understand it. It's not coming from God. So we all are going to face temptation from time to time. We're all going to face temptation from time to time. Anybody like to fish in here? Come on, all my fishermen, raise your hands. All right, there you go. Yeah, you like to fish. You know, we know this about when you fish, that you would think after all the fish that had been caught, that somewhere along the line, these fish would get smarter, right? You're like, hey, don't take the bait. Joe took the bait last week. We ain't seen him since. You think they do a better job of communicating, like, don't take the bait. No, run, run, swim away, swim away, swim away. But they're not very smart, because they always take the bait. Unless Steve's fishing. But everybody else, they take the bait. And behind every cast, there's a bait. And every bait has a what? A hook. Every hook has a rod, and there's somebody holding that rod, isn't there? And what I want you to see behind every temptation, that there is somebody trying to hook you, put their hooks in you, and snag you and pull you out of the will of God for your life. It's trying to pull you off course. It's trying to tempt you for a reason. It's trying to put their hooks in you. And this is what James was trying to explain to us. James was like, listen, don't take that bait. Temptation, it's not from God. It's not from God. He says, I don't want you to suffer with this temptation. I want you to understand where it's coming from. James says, temptation, don't take the bait. So number one, write this down. You got to know your enemy. You want to seek with clarity. You got to understand who the enemy really is. One thing today is we have a weekend full of college and pro football and even high school football on Friday nights. We know this to be true. That man, any good coach and player, they're spending hours upon hours of studying their opponent, of studying the enemy for this week. And they are going to study tape after tape. They're going to watch game after game. My son and I were talking last night after his game, and he was like, man, my schedule, all we do is just watch film and tape, and it's hours upon hours. Every day they're watching. I mean, a full-time job, not only a practicing, it's just a small portion of it. They spend a lot more time watching film and going over film and breaking down the tendencies of the opposing team. They're studying it all the time. Why? Because you got to know your enemy. If you're going to win, you got to know what the enemy is up to. You got to know what your opponent is up to. Jesus said this about our enemy, talking about Satan. He says, the thief only comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. Three things. Are any of those things good? No. And this comes from the enemy. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill your life. He wants to kill your walk with God. He wants to kill the fire and the passion you have in your heart to live out the kingdom. He wants to kill your vision. He wants to steal your vision. He wants to steal your life. He wants to steal your dreams. He wants to steal your motivation. He wants to kill it, steal from you. None of those things are good. He wants to steal and kill from your marriage, your family, your children. This is his only purpose. This is why the enemy is fishing. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy from our life. And at some point, we got to wise up. At some point, we got to realize this temptation is from the enemy who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy from my life. Why do I keep taking the bait? Why am I always taking the bait? Why do I fall there? Why do I, when I'm feeling a certain way, why do I go with that temptation? When I know it's going to continually lead to kill, steal, and destroy from my life. You got to know your enemy. You got to know your opponent. I remember, some of you who are old enough remember the fight in the 70s. I was just a small kid. But Ali and Foreman, you guys remember when they first fought the first time there? Man, Foreman was the new champion. He was considered one of the strongest, hardest hitters that had ever gotten into the arena. Last week I talked to you about his comeback at 45. But before he came back, he actually was the world champion. And he was considered the strongest, biggest champion. He was one of the strongest pound-for-pound punchers that had ever come through the game. And so Ali, who of course had been a world champion several times, was past his prime. He was got this fight with Foreman, and he knew there was no way I was going to out-punch him. There was no way I could out-physical him. There was no way I could outlast him if I get out there and go toe-to-toe. And so what he did was, he went out there and he acted like he was a wounded dog. And he leaned up against the ropes to save his legs. And he let Foreman just punch away. And Foreman's out there, bam, 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 punching away round after round. And Ali's just trying to let those hits kind of glaze off of him, protect himself, and he's not moving. People are booing. Oh, boo, boo. Fight back, Ali. Fight back. You know, you're past your prime. Get out of here. And he did this round after round after round. And finally, after about 10 rounds of that, he noticed Foreman was getting out of breath. Foreman had lost his pep and his step. And the minute Foreman put his hands down to catch his breath, Ali stepped off the ropes and right hook across the chin. And knocked him out. 1-2 punch and knocked him out. And it was the biggest upset. He'd been playing what they call now the famous rope to dope. Yeah, rope to dope. Sometimes wisdom can outdo talent. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's good to have wisdom more than it is to have talent. And you got to know and have a plan that, you know what? If I don't have a plan going into this, I'm going to be defeated. I got to use some wisdom. And you got to know your enemy. You got to know his tendencies. You got to understand, James 1, 13 through 14, he says, remember this, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Now, verse 14 says, temptation comes from where? Our own desires, which entice us, and then get snared and drag us away. So this is what James says about temptation. It's coming from my desire. It entices me. Take the bait. And then I bite into it. It snares me and then drags me away. He wants you to know this about temptation. That the enemy is watching you. The enemy is paying attention to you. He's studying you. Do you know that? Know this. The enemy is watching you. He knows where you're weak. He hears the words that come out of your mouth. And so he's constantly using the bait that's coming from our desires. He knows, all right, if I'm going to be tempted, it's coming from my weakness. So the enemy's going to tempt me with my own weakness. And what I know about this is this, that the enemy tries to do something. Listen, behind every bait, behind every hook, someone is fishing. And it's always a different bait if you're trying to catch a different fish, isn't it? You don't use the same bait for every fish. If you're trying to go catfishing, you're going to use something cut up that stinks and some guts and something that's gross, right? You want to catch a big mouth bass, you're going to use something that makes a little noise across the water and attracts. They like that, right? They like it when that thing skips across there, rattles. Some like the big spinners that make like they're swimming. Some like it that looks like it's dead and it's a wounded, and they'll come attack it. Different fish like different kinds of bait. My dad, he was a master at fishing. He would go up to the dam and he would get off that big wall. Notice how I said that. He'd get off there, get off the big wall, and he would throw it out to the turbines. And man, he had a 10-foot rod, and he would throw two jigs at a time, and he would pull them in two at a time. Nobody else would be catching anything, and he'd be bringing them in two at a time. And people were like, what color are you using? What are you using, Gene? What are you using? And my dad, he had learned that at certain times of the day, certain colors, they'll bite on more. They have a fish had a tendency, the sand bass especially, had a tendency to bite on certain colors at certain time of the day or certain water levels. He understood that. And so he would catch fish when nobody else was catching. Why? Because he understood that. The enemy understands. Listen, he's going to throw out the bait that you want. He's going to throw out the bait that we're weak in. He's going to throw out the bait. He's not going to throw out something. He's not going to throw out chicken livers if you don't like chicken livers, right? He ain't going to throw that out to you. He's going to throw out some steak to you and I. He's going to throw out something that's really tempting to you and I. He says, I want you. I know you. If I can get you to take this, I'll pull you off. I'll get this. Listen, he wants you to get into your life. He wants to snare you. Fish don't know that they're being fished for. Fish don't know that. Fish don't know they're being fished for. And James says, I want you to remember this, that temptation is the bait, and you got to know your enemy, right? You got to know your enemy. Understand what's going on. Let me ask you this question today. What type of bait is the enemy using for your life? What type of bait does the enemy use to tempt you with? Each one of us can answer pretty much a different thing. All of us at maybe different stages of life can answer different things. But we must know this. See, if you want to identify your temptation, you got to understand it. You want to defeat it? You want to quit getting snagged and snared and drug off course? You want the enemy to keep stealing from you, to quit doing stealing from you, killing from you, destroying from you? Then what is my bait that I always fall for? What is it? I got to identify it. Otherwise, I'll keep taking the bait. Otherwise, I'll be like those stupid fish. Just keep taking it time and time and time again. So that question today, you got to answer for yourself. What type of bait does the enemy use to tempt me with? Pride? Does he use my pride against me? Maybe he uses my mouth against me in gossip. Maybe he uses my eyes in lust. Maybe he uses my jealous spirit. Maybe he uses greed. What is it that he's using to tempt me with? I've got to understand that, identify that. James 1:15, look what it says. These desires give birth to sinful, our desires talking about the temptation, give birth to the sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now, he wasn't talking about a physical death, even though that can happen with certain types of sin, right? But he was talking about a spiritual death. He was saying, man, you want to kill the dream God's got for your life? Allow these desires. Keep going at that temptation and giving it room to grow in your life, to grow in your heart. Quit giving that room there. It'll bring a spiritual death. Number two, write this down. Seek God's wisdom. You got to seek God's wisdom. To see this, understand this, you got to seek God's wisdom. How many like Where is Waldo? Anybody ever read those books or see any of those charts? Where is Waldo? I think we have a picture up here. Remember, Waldo always has the red and white hat on. And if you don't know who is Waldo, it's a series of books and a series of pictures. They start off kind of easy, and each one gets a little harder until they finally, it's just a whole thing of just faces of people and crowds of people. But he's always there. It's just a little harder to find, right? Anybody found him yet? Anybody see him yet? Come on, people, you're slow. Let's see, where's the edge? Right there in the very middle, right in the center. There you go, right there in the very middle. I know it's hard to spot, but there's Waldo. And in every picture, Waldo's there. And what I want you to understand about seeking God's wisdom is that in the middle of every temptation, when we get hooked, it's easy not to see God, but he is there. In the middle of every temptation, We go, God, where are you? God is there. God has not left you. And sometimes he's hard to find when the temptation is right there in our face and we're getting hooked in and reeled in. But God is there. He is there. He is there. He has not left you. And he will provide a way out. He will provide a way to get out of that temptation if you'll just call upon him. You just look to him and say, God, I need your wisdom in my life. James 1:5, look what it says. If you need wisdom, ask, right? If you need wisdom, ask. And what's he say about God? Our generous God. What's he generous with? Wisdom, because it's talking about wisdom. God is generous with wisdom, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So if I ask God, I need your wisdom, he will not only give it to me, he'll give it to me generously. That means he's going to give me a lot. It's going to overflow in my life if I'll simply humble myself and say, God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your wisdom. God will always give us wisdom when asked. Now, I'm going to give you some things right now. I want you to make sure you're taking notes and writing this down. Listen, every young adult in here, I want you to really take notes because this is going to save you a lot of pain and struggle of your life if you get what PG is talking to you today about. I've struggled with this, and it's going to help you out. I want you to stop asking. Look at it. Stop asking what's right or wrong. Stop asking, is this the right or wrong thing to do? And what I want you to start asking is, what is the wise thing to do? Get that in your heart. Not if it's right or wrong. Sometimes it's what we justify. Well, it's not wrong. The Bible doesn't say it's wrong. Or this is not wrong to do. But is it the wise thing to do? That's a different question. Some things that aren't wrong to do are not always the wisest thing for you to do. And for every one of us, we got to ask that question. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You got to learn, considering my past. Ask this question. Considering my past, what is the wise thing to do? For instance, if I am a person who struggled with alcoholism, I've been an alcoholic and I've kicked that and got over that, but I know I've struggled with that. I have a group of friends that's asked me to go hang out. Some old high school buddies want to go hang out. Nothing wrong with hanging out with them, but I know they're probably going to have some alcohol around. They're probably going to be around with a drinking a lot, and I know I suffer with that, so it's probably not a wrong thing to hang out with them, but it's not a wise thing considering my past. It's not a wise thing for me to go hang out with them. Do you see that? It's not wrong to hang out with them, but it's probably not a wise thing if I struggle with that thing. Considering my present, look at this, considering my present circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? I can tell you this, that when I'm hungry, it's never wise for my wife to send me to the grocery store. The other day, she sent me to the store to pick up like 3 things for dinner, and I was starving. I came home with like 2 baskets full of groceries and junk food. I'm like, honey, don't ever send me to the store again when I'm hungry. Everything looked good. I can cook through. I can eat that. You know, all the stuff I wanted to keep out of the house, I brought it home by the sack loads. I brought it in, all this junk. And I was like, man, I don't want this in my house. I don't want to tempt. But I was so hungry, it all looked good. I'm like, don't ever send me again. It's not wrong to go to the store. It's just not wise for me to go when I'm hungry. Let me put it another way. How about this? I get a text from somebody, and it upsets me. And I know I'm getting upset. I get my thumbs out. I'm ready to really let them have it, right? I start typing a reply, and I know because I'm upset about what, if I push sin, I'm going to destroy a relationship. I'm probably going to do something that's going to end that relationship because I'm so mad. And so I know that I should take a break, cool off, go work out, do something, whatever, do something else, and maybe come back to that a little later. And respond when I've calmed down. And even though I wanted to say some things, I really filtered it and made it sound a lot nicer than what it really was going to be. Why? Because I took time to calm down. I didn't respond out of anger. It's never good when I respond out of anger. Don't say amen, honey. Come on. It's not good. She wants to talk it out. And I know at some point, sometimes, when I've reached my breaking point, I know if I sit down to talk it out, what's going to come out of my mouth is not going to be very godly. It's going to be hurtful. It's going to destroy. And so I've got to say, I got to take time out. I need to go work out. I'll be back after a while. I calm down. And then I understand. So is it wrong to talk it out? No. I just need to take a break and calm down. I know it's a wise thing is for me to respond when I'm not angry. Are you seeing? What I had to say was not wrong. It's just that I shouldn't do it when I was angry, because it's going to sound a lot different when I'm angry. How about considering my future? Considering my future, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing? See, is it wrong for me to go buy a new car? No. But if I say, you know what? We just paid off this car. And you know what? We had no problem making this payment. We were able to handle it good without stress. And we were always on time. And man, we didn't have to really struggle to make that payment. And so we could afford another payment the same amount. That's probably a wise decision. But if I, the whole time, was stressed out for 4 years because we could barely make that payment and it stressed us out and we fought the whole time because you had to have that car and you had to have that car. And my body, everybody's fighting about it. Don't look at me like we're the only ones that ever do that, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Is it wrong to buy a car? No, but is it the wise thing? Probably not, knowing how we handle it. So I know I probably need to take a break, right? Let's drive this one that's paid off a few years and save up and have a bigger down payment next time. See, it's not what's wrong or right. It's about what is wise. And the Bible says if we will ask from the Lord for wisdom, He will generously give it to us. Man, He will pour it out to you. We just got to ask and listen. It's there. See, temptation is to go on impulse, right? Temptation. I just made a stupid decision because we go on impulse. I bought that on the impulse. I made a mistake on the impulse. I said that on the impulse. I looked at that on the impulse. I went there on the impulse. I shouldn't have done that. Impulse will drive you crazy. It will lead you down a road of destruction where the enemy can kill, steal, and destroy. But wisdom says, God, help me make the wise choice. See, people who are looking to make wrong choices, they'll ask, well, is it right or wrong? Well, the Bible doesn't speak against it. It wasn't wrong. But it wasn't wise either. And there's a whole nother level that He wants you to live on if you'll just ask of the Lord for wisdom. Is this helping anybody today? All right. I'm telling you, man, I've lived this out, made the mistake. Sin can't take root if we don't give it a place to plant and water. Listen, when I come, I can't bite into that and put that temptation in my life and let it grow there and then water it and feed it. I wonder why it's growing. No. If I bite it, oh, that's not good. I got to let that thing go. No. You can't take a place in my heart. I know what is trying to happen here. The enemy's trying to plant seeds of destruction in my life. Nope. Not going to happen. Not today. Come on. Someone say, not today, devil. That's right. It ain't going to happen. No. Because I know you're trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And the last thing here before we close, you got to trust God's character. You want to see clearly, you got to learn to trust God's character. Let's look at James 1:16-18 now, talking about God's character. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from us, from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chooses to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all the creation, became His prized possession. If you don't know this, you need to know today that God wants to give good things to you. God wants to bless you with good things. If you don't know this today, you are the apple of the Father's eye. I am, and you are, that we are the, not me, Pastor, I've blown it way too much. Listen, how many parents here have had kids who've blown it? You lying? Everybody raise your hand right now. Here you go. If you have kids, they're going to blow it. We blow it. Our kids have blown it. We've all blown it. Let me ask this. When your kids blow it and they make big mistakes, even the really big, big, big ones, has your love ever stopped? No. Have you ever not wanted to bless them? Have you ever not wanted them to succeed? Have you ever not wanted to see them rebound and come out stronger? Yes, that's what we want for our kids. How much more does God want that goodness for us? We are His prized possession. Every good gift comes from the Father. Every perfect gift comes from our dad. He never changes. You are the apple of the Father's eye today. And it helps me see with clarity that, all right, Satan, I see right here, you're trying to show me something that's going to be temporary good, but it's going to snag me and get me away from my God-given destiny. But I know this, if I'll just say no to this and keep my eyes upon the Father, that the Father's got a blessing for me that's going to bless my socks off. He's got a strong marriage waiting for me. He's got a strong job waiting for me. He's got me living in prosperity. He's got me living in faith. He's got me living in peace. He's got something better if I'll just resist the temptation and see if for what it is. It's just a trick of the enemy. That's all it is. And he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's always using temptation to snag us and to pull us in. Listen, God has not given up on you. So don't you give up on yourself. I don't give up on my kids, right? God doesn't give up on his kids. He has not given up on you. So stop giving up on yourself. Pick yourself back up and say, I'm going to learn to resist that temptation and keep my eyes clearly on what God wants for me. It's time for a comeback. Come on now. You need to see clearly again. It's time for you to come back and say, I'm going to see the things of God again. I'm going to quit chasing after every temptation. And I want to get my eyes on the things of God. Change my heart, oh God. It's time to see clearly that God's got a better plan for my life. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the most important question today is simply this. Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Today is the most important question you've ever been asked. Have you believed in your heart that He is the Messiah, that He died on the cross as we sung about earlier? The Bible says you got to believe it. Step one. Step two is you got to confess it with your mouth. That Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Today we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. But we want to make sure you have a chance to make that decision today. Just where you're sitting today without anybody looking but me. If that's you, say, Pastor, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand today where you're at? I want to see you and make sure I pray. Yeah, come on. There you go. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to raise your hand today. I'm going to raise it high where I can see it. I want to make sure I don't miss you. Thank you. I see those hands. Let's do this today. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it with you as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. I'm proud of you today. Listen, if you prayed that prayer before you leave today, the hub will be open, the garage door will be up. We got a free Bible. We would love to give that to you. Some other information today for making that first step. As you stand across the room today, how many want to be honest? Pastor, you're preaching right to me today. Anybody want to say that? All right, come on. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. We're just saying, yeah, we ain't got it together. We all need help, right? We all need help that comes from the Lord. So today, we're going to sing this song about being chosen of God, about being God's child. And as we sing it today, I want to say, God, I'm learning to surrender all of my life to you. Come on, let's sing it to him. Yes, I am. Can I invite you before we leave today just to raise your hands? I want to pray for you one more time. Father, I thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Wisdom that's being passed down today from the word of the Lord. I pray to Father, you will come as good soil today. Our hearts are good soil. We receive your instruction today, Lord. We receive, Lord, instruction and teaching from your word. And I declare to Father right now that our eyes are open to the tricks of the enemy that want to kill, steal, and destroy. And our hearts are drawn to the heart of the Father, which wants the goodness for me. Good and perfect gifts, God. I see clearly now that, God, you got a purpose. You got a great purpose in my life. If I'll just begin to look to you, in Jesus' name, we declare clarity coming back. We want to see beyond the tricks of the enemy, and we want to see the goodness of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together if you receive that. Woo! Amen. Now listen, before you leave today, can you stack these rolls up into stacks of six? That'll help us out. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tonight for Kidfest.